And in the WNRN studios this morning, Freddy Johnston. Hello, Freddy.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware, and so I started listening to XPN during the time when it was creating the format we now know of as AAA, which is just kind of, you know, format speak. But certainly they created this really cool thing that a lot of people have emulated, including, to a certain degree, WNRN. And you were one of the key players in, you know, the songwriters in that whole mix. So I was very, very fond of you back during that days, and I was so glad when I first came here to WNRN to have you have a new album. But it's been a while since you actually put out a studio album. You did some covers and some other things. So I'm really glad to have been able to play this new one this year called Rain on the City. Tell us a little bit about some of these other projects that you did between studio albums.
Well, I did a cover record in 07 in Nashville. I was living in Nashville for a while. And then I did a record in 04 of demos from the 90s, which some people say I shouldn't have put out because it's, you know, it's pretty primitive stuff, but I'm glad I did it. I, you know, showed the four-track primitive side. So I did release something between records, but I agree there was kind of a, you know, it was a time there that I didn't put a record out because I was trying to make this record that you have in your hands. So that's kind of what it was. That's the explanation. I couldn't get it done.
And you also did some moving in there. Are you back in New York City?
I'm back in New York. I was in Nashville and Austin, in that order. Nashville and Austin for a while.
And those cities were you know, not something that helped you finish this record?
No, I don't know what was going on. I don't want to get into but I was kind of, you know, just wandering around, and I love both those towns. You know, I just wasn't ready to stop, I guess.
We were teasing these folks who were in the studio a couple weeks ago, a group who centers themselves in Brooklyn, Yarn. They do country music. Saying that, like, in New York City, it seems to be the place where a lot of people are going because, you know, Chris Thiele from formerly of Nickel Creek, now with Punch Brothers, has moved to New York. And a lot of people seem to be moving to New York these days to seem to get their creative juices flowing. So it just, you know, seems like it's just the thing to do. So we're glad that you did that. And you've got this new album out. I just loved it. I just love this album. And we enjoyed playing it here on WNRN this year. Would you like to play a new song for us?
Well, I'd love to. I'd love to play you a song from the record, since I did bring my guitar all the way down Main and then Ivy Road. I walked here from the hotel. Anybody was driving to work and saw a guy with a guitar this morning. That was me. I think I was the only one out there. But I can take the bus back, it looks like. Maybe that's what I'll do. When the love is gone, oh, when the love is gone, and you're all alone, oh, and you're all alone, you'll curse the day that you ever were loved, all you had a happy home, when the love is gone. Streets of a city you
from the other side of love.
WNRN. My guest this morning is Freddy Johnston. He has just released a new album this year called Rain on the City. And so, you know, I was thinking in my head while you were playing that song about, you know, let's tell the Freddy Johnston story so that people know where you came from. You originally grew up in Kansas?
Yeah, that's my story. I grew up in Kansas, and I moved to New York in the 80s, 86 or so. And then that's pretty much what I did, you know. I moved to New York City with dreams of becoming a rock star, which maybe wasn't the town to go to for that. But I worked as a temp for years, you know. That was my...
Well, but I love this story of you asking a friend to drive you to a record store to pick up an Elvis Costello album, and how you ordered a guitar because how small was the town that you lived in, that you grew up in?
It's about 1,500 people now, something like that. But there wasn't a record store at the time. There is. What am I saying? At the time, there were briefly in high school, someone did move to town, to our little town, and opened up a music shop. I couldn't believe it happened, but they sold instruments and records, then moved on. But I had a subscription to Rolling Stone and to Cream, and so I read about the new Elvis Costello record. This is back in the 70s, of course, and I realized I had to have it. But I couldn't order it anywhere, and the nearest town was Dodge City, 50 miles away. So I had my buddy drive me on a Saturday to get it. It sounds really, you know, like just a real myth and really, really cute now. But that you know,
no, but I would have driven 30 miles for an Elvis Costello album in the late 70s as well. So and you know, what a cool time to be, you know, kind of exploring music. And also just kind of an interesting age to kind of drop into New York City as well, you know, to kind of explore your dream. You know, the music has changed, but there's always room for people to write interesting songs.
Sure.
I would hope. And you've been a part of, I don't know, several scenes, I would say.
A couple scenes, yeah, I suppose. I when I moved to New York, I lived in Hoboken in the late 80s and 90s. So that's really kind of, I realize that's kind of where people think I'm from, is from Hoboken, because that's where I first played live. You know, I put my first record out when I was 30. So I started later than a lot of folks.
So is that where the Bar None connection comes? Because aren't they from Hoboken?
They're still in Hoboken. Well, they're near Hoboken. They're in Weehawken. And that's where the connection comes from, sure. But those are my first, you know, I lived in Kansas. I played guitar and made four track demos, but I didn't really play there very many gigs. I played a couple, but I came at it from the home recorder and rather than playing live, which is really the way to, you know, if ever I was going to advise any musician who's, you know, coming up, I'd say, you know, play live, you know, don't get obsessed unless you want to become a record producer. But, you know, get out of your bedroom and get away from the four track. That would be what I'd say to my young self, you know. But, it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Because you really, you know, that's where you learn about communicating with the listener is on stage.
Well,
I think, you know,
Richie Havens would agree with you. That was advice that he also told me. It was just get out and play. Play for as many people. Play as often as you can. Try to learn.
If you can get over, yeah, the whatever fear, you know, is going to be there at first. I think I had a lot of fear of it, you know. And I would get on stage. And I'd play Hoboken, this place called Live Tonight. That's gone now. And I'd get on stage and I would forget my song lyrics. And just freeze up out of fear. And just, you know, have to wait a bar or two to remember the lyrics. That was a couple years of that, of the stage fright resulting in amnesia. But I got over that.
Well, there's some people who still have trouble getting up on stage and remembering their lyrics. Lucinda Williams always has her lyric book right there.
I think, yeah, that's fair. You know, you can't remember all the words. I don't play several songs because I've forgotten them, and I need to rehearse them now to bring them back into the set, but it's just because of the too many darn words, you know? I don't remember all the words. So I'm with Lucinda on that one. Maybe I need a teleprompter.
Well, I don't know if you want to reach back into the past or you want to stick with the new music, but I'd love for you to do another song for us. What would you like to do?
Thanks. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe reach back into the past. I could do a song from the Hoboken days. I was just in Hoboken the other day, picking up this guitar at the repair shop.
On the
dusty coffin lid. There's a lonely dove out on the telephone wire. I turn my head and she flies away.
WNRN. Freddy Johnston is my guest this morning in the WNRN studios, and he has a brand new album out, and it is called Rain on the City. Came out earlier this year. We played a tune off of it, which Freddy did live for us a little bit earlier. I'm just kind of curious about your songwriting, and with this particular album, you know, tell us a little bit about your songwriting process. I'm just curious. I mean, you're one of the people that I've admired for, you know, 20 years or so. So, just got to pick your brain a bit.
The process. Oh boy. Well, the process is getting it changes. I'll say that, you know, but my MO is always to come up with a melody of some kind, or the melody will come to me, you know, and a guitar progression with a vocal melody is what I mean. So the melody of a song, you know, a song will kind of come to me with no words or a couple words. I think it's a common way that people work, but I've met so many songwriters who work from the other direction, you know, writing out the lyrics and then going to finding music to fit that. But I have to put my lyrics to a melody that's already there. So it's sort of like, you know, hanging whatever words on the melody that will work. Or whatever kind of what syllables want to come out of that note. So that's the short version.
One of the things I re-listened to this CD. Obviously, I listened before. I added it earlier in the year, but this one particular song caught my ear once again, which is the song about the lonely girl, talking about how you love this lonely girl, you want to marry her, but you're always alone, and she's out. And I just liked how you kind of not only explored the idea of loneliness, but also just kind of how you turned it around. Is it something that you go is to try to also kind of turn some things upside down during the course of the song?
Well, I think that's kind of well, at least I think it's what I should be doing, you know.
Right.
I should be doing, but that's what the song wants. You've got to try to bring something new to the topic, you know. Try to, rather than just write another song about lonely people. I do that enough.
Yeah. Well, it brought in. It brought up an internal conversation with me that lasted quite a while.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it did. I really talked to myself about that song.
It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a country thing. You know, I am from Kansas, so the idea of that your song has to have some kind of internal pun or joke or twist, you know, or hook, that's in me. You know, I can't leave that alone. But I've been kind of co-writing a little bit lately, or kind of, I have been.
Who have you been co-writing with?
Co-writing with a guy in Austin named John D. Graham.
Oh, I kind of love
him. Oh, you know
John
D. Okay.
Oh, man, I love him. And his voice, too. I mean, some people don't like the kind of Tom Waits school of singing, but he's...
It's kind of a Tom Waits voice, but Not completely full on. No, not at all. He can sing.
Oh, no. I know that, but just like it's that gravelly thing. Yeah. We also have here in the Valley, Larry Keel also has kind of that same gravelly voice, and I love it. I don't know. It's just my particular thing, but yeah, cool. So
John D., yeah, I'm doing a record with John D. next month, actually. You know, I lived in Austin last year, and he was in my band. I did a weekly gig at Momo's there, and so we decided to do a record or to write songs, some songs together when I was living down there. And I had success at it. I never thought I would, that it would make any sense to sit down with someone and write a song, because it seems like such a personal thing, or it's kind of a secret process, you know, and how could they possibly know, you know.
Well, all that time in Nashville, you know, but didn't do any co-writing there?
I know. That's kind of that surprised me, because I went there thinking that, well, this is going to be a new thing I'm going to do, and I just didn't do it or didn't know how to do it. That's a separate skill, I think, you know, being able to be a good co-writer in Nashville.
Well, someone was just saying to me that it actually really helped them finish songs to co-write, because it somehow gave them an internal deadline. You know, you're going to have a session with them, and you're going to finish so much, and then you're going to come back, and you're going to either finish it, or it'll all get done in that session. So I kind of like that idea that maybe if you're a person who doesn't complete things, it's a good process for people like that.
I think so. I think that's a good way to look at it. Maybe that person would agree, too, that there are different kinds of songs. I realize now. So the songs that I write on my own, like for my next record, I'm just not going to co-write them, because I already kind of know which way the song has to go, and I want to hang on to the songs myself, you know? But there are other songs, like the ones I'm writing with John D., or I've worked with a great songwriter named Rebecca Pigeon, or another songwriter named Sarah Borges from Boston. Right. Who else have I written with? Bill Lloyd from Nashville, you know, the great Bill Lloyd. Anyway, it's always working on their songs or their ideas that they need help with, or some other... It's usually their ideas or something, you know, and I help them. I'm sort of like I'm a helper. They're always very... sort of, you know, grateful. Thanks, Freddie, for that hook. And so that's my co-writing status right now. I'm kind of a helper. I'm not really a full co-writer yet. But the songs I'm doing with John D. are that. You know, we're going into we're the Hobart Brothers, which refers to a commercial dishwasher brand, since we were both restaurant workers as in our 20s. And so a couple of the songs are about that. And so that's the only place I could really, you know, write songs like that, about a dishwasher who's just screwing around all the time, you know, and hitting on the waitresses and not working. I wouldn't write that song on my record, I don't think, because it's like, I don't know, just wouldn't do it. But with John D., I will, because, you know, the story has to be told.
Well, Freddie Johnson is my guest.
I haven't been too long-winded.
No, it was beautiful. But he's my guest this morning, and one more tune from you, Freddie?
Sure, yeah, That's doable.
What's up next?
I'm going to play Don't Fall in Love with a Lonely Girl, if that's okay for you. And it's not an autobiographical or true song. Just a song. Just words.
You know I wake up, it's first light. Been sleeping in my chair all night. Just then, on time, she walks in like everything's fine. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll never be alone with her. Don't give your heart to a lonely one, 'cause you'll always wonder where she's gone. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl.
'cause you'll spend your nights waiting up for her. I'd like to make her my wife, but she's never here enough to reply. I should say goodbye. Believe me, I have tried and tried and tried. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll never be alone with her. Don't give your heart to a lonely one, 'cause you'll always wonder where she's gone. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll spend your nights waiting up for her. In the daytime, she's like a mannequin. That in the nighttime can't be found. Man, she's out doing things I can't imagine. In an ordinary town. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll never be alone with her. Don't give your heart to a lonely one, 'cause you'll always wonder where she's gone. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll spend your nights waiting up for her.
WNRN. Freddie Johnston is my guest in the WNRN studios this morning. He's got a brand new album called Rain on the City. And we are so glad to have him here and playing songs live for us this morning. And we had a little conversation before we started the session on air about ukuleles and how it's a cool instrument. And I was telling Freddie that my youngest daughter plays one, and how much fun it's been for all of us to hear her play. But you feature a song on this album with the ukulele. How did you is this an instrument from your youth, or is this something that you picked up since you've been out singing and playing on the road?
No, I just picked up one the last couple of years. My buddy Ed down in Nashville had a ukulele, and I picked it up when I was over at his house a couple times, and realized that the top string is the high string, you know, how ukulele is tuned. My dog has fleas. I didn't realize that, and so that I became very intrigued with the little instrument and bought one through the mail, just like I bought my first guitar through the mail, and started writing a song immediately on it. It's a very evocative instrument. So that's how it happened. Last couple of years, I just picked one up and fell in love with it. And now it's taught me a lot about chords. I'm a self-taught guy, you know, so I don't really know how to, you know, read music. But I'm learning more about intervals from the ukulele.
Cool. Well, we thank you so much. Well, we thank you so much for being here this morning, Freddie, and many happy returns to Charlottesville. And we're going to play a tune directly from the album called Rain on the City to close out this morning right here on WNRN.